This land of ours is under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, January 30th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us as usual in this hour from 10 to 11 every Friday is Pastor Chatfield. We've been doing this for quite a few years together, doing a history lesson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today? It's cold here. I don't know. It's cold.
Yes, sir. Winter is definitely here. You know what it is? And Vicki asked me, she said, why is it so bitter cold today? And I said, look at the clouds. There isn't any. We have no cloud cover, clear skies, all that heat that you could hold in with clouds gone. And that's why it's basically minus eight this morning. And Cliff Delaney, the beef farmer over in Onaway, out feeding the cows this morning, said it was minus 14. So we'll get through right. It, but man, winter is definitely right here. But one of the things, Pastor Chatfield, this topic for today that you texted me, American imperialism, it has a long history and really, really needs to be explained to the folks.
Very long. You know, I used to recoil at that, saying, well, America, you're just one of these imperialistic nations. Because when what we used to call a third world country, African, South American, Southeast Asian, would call European countries, including and often including the United States, oh, you're just imperialism. And it had a very negative connotation to it. But, okay, I'll accept that we are to some measure imperialistic, but it's a necessity. It is the nature of geopolitical reality. It is the way it has to be. It is. American imperialism, when did it begin? I'll go back to 1565 when the Spanish landed and settled, founded St. Augustine, Florida. And then 1607 when the English founded Jamestown. 1620, more English coming to Plymouth. In a sense, America, we landed on a continent that was somewhat inhabited by Native Americans. And we Europeans, English, Christians, whoever you want to say, we settled and more came and eventually dominated, took the continent, the United States of America. And it is what it is. It's a reality. Listen, the whole nature of government itself, John Locke wrote about a social compact theory of government. And it's in our Declaration of Independence. It's what all our founders believed, that you have to unite to protect your life, your liberty, and your property. That's what government is. That's why the colonies united. They couldn't, each individual, 13 colonies, could not stand against Britain. They had to unite. And that's why we have, we have a constitution, and we have a military, and we have a commander in chief. Why? Because the world's a bad spot. You have to unite, and you have to protect your freedom, your economic freedom, and your life, your liberty, your property. The whole nature of mankind in general is the example of one people possessing the land and then expanding their influence outward to protect what they already have. That's the nature of things. And I used to argue, well, we're not, don't put us in the same category as Great Britain, you know, but we'll talk about the history of imperialism in the United States on the other side.
History lesson with Pastor Chatfield. I'm Trucker Randy. Short break. We'll be right back.
This is Kevin Kievsky, and I'm running for the Republican nomination for Michigan Attorney General. I've defeated the current Attorney General by actually representing the 2020 Trump alternate electors. It's time to end the lawfare here in our great state, and no more ever using the law as a weapon against patriots. Delegates, back me at the March Endorsement Convention to reclaim justice and to make Michigan red again. Paid for by Kevin Kievsky for Michigan, kevin4mi.com.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today. Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. Patriotsrelief.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Pastor Chatfield, before you go into the history side of it, define for our audience so they truly understand, what does it mean to be an imperialistic country? American imperialism. What exactly is that?
When one country, through military force or economic coercion, and sometimes territorial acquisition, forces its will, expands its borders, expands its influence, expands its walls for whatever reason. Okay. America has never wanted a worldwide empire. But we do understand that you've got to protect your own interests, and your interests go beyond the border. Okay. That is such simple. Are we an imperialistic nation the way Great Britain was? No. No, there used to be a saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Now, I don't think we're like the Spanish or the British or the French or the Dutch. And of course, not like the Germans. Adolf Hitler, you could call that the extreme imperialism of Germany. He invaded Poland September 1st, 1939 for breathing space. The German people need to move east and settle. There's a lot of land out there. It's good for the German people. No, that's not us. But at the same time, we are going to protect our own interest, our own economic interests. And others will say, well, you're being imperialistic. Okay, you know what I used to argue, that's not imperialistic, but I don't really care. You can call us imperialistic if you want. That's, you know, whatever you call us. But we've had a long history of that. Long history. Since the Constitution, we have been moving west. Let me just talk about the American Indians. I've had to go over and over and over this with my class. There were hundreds of American Indian tribes on this continent. And for the most part, they were fighting against each other. And they never had a unified system of government until way late after the Civil War. Geronimo finally figured out, he tried to unite American tribes to protect themselves and their land against American expansion. This was far too little, far too late. By that time, the United States was too strong. And here's the story. The Great Plains section and dots between the Mississippi River and California, there were still a lot of Indians there. And the Plains tribes, they made their sustenance with the American bison buffalo. We put a bounty on the buffalo and paid people to go out there and kill buffalo. For what purpose? For the stated purpose. Well, we wanted the Indians to quit being nomadic. We wanted them to take up the European/American way of living, not nomadic, not wandering about in tribes and following the buffalo. We passed something called the Dawes Act in 1887, which was it authorized our government to break up tribal lands and to, we'd give any family, any Indian family, 160 acres, would give it to you and just settle it, just start farming. You say, well, they didn't want to farm. I understand that. And you could argue, well, wait a minute here. You're giving 160 acres of their own land. You could make that argument too. In a sense, that's true. In another sense, we were a nation that had expanded from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and it just, you can't have another nation of nomads wandering about land that you claim. Now, I know the modern woke ideology says, oh, you can't just take that from people. Well, in essence, we did. That's an oversimplification. And I don't believe in murdering people, but I do believe in the American way of life, in our Constitution, private ownership of land. The Indians just didn't view things like that. They did not view it. A lot of them didn't want to go on reservations. They didn't like that. They wanted to be nomadic. And in the end, it wouldn't work. It couldn't work in our country. And we gave them their land, and we've made a lot of concessions. But in the end, if they want to say, well, America has been imperialistic because they took Native American lands. Well, to some measure, that's true. But that's the nature of all history. That's the way it's always been everywhere. Do you think, in 1565 or 1607, there were Indians here in the Western Hemisphere. America was not like the Spanish. Hernando Cortez, who slaughtered the Aztecs. Just slaughtered the Aztec Indians in Mexico. We weren't that bad. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't great. But it is what it is. See, it is just simply reality. We had the Dawes Act that tried to help them. We have, if they wanted to live with each other on reservations, fine. But the Indians that have said, okay, my ancestry, my ancestors were here first, but in a sense, they lost that battle. Now I'm here, living in America. I'm going to live as an American. Hey, that's the history of all the world, all over the world. I've debated going back to England. So who was it, England first? Who was the Jutes were there first? The Britons were there. Then the Angles, then the Saxons, and then the Normans. And they all attacked and fought and won. And eventually, all those mixed together, and we have what we call Great Britain today. I mean, there's a lot of history. Every single country has a history like that. So do we. Okay, we have a history like that. Now, we have grown to be very powerful. That is, that's true. The Monroe Doctrine, during the administration of James Monroe, we said, hey, Europe, the Western Hemisphere is no longer open to further European colonization. 1823. You can't come here. We're going to treat this continent like it's the Caribbean, like it's an American lake. In 1904, less than 100 years later, Teddy Roosevelt is become known as the Roosevelt Corollary, an addition to the Monroe Doctrine, which said, United States, we're going to be an international police power. We're going to police our own continent. Basically, he said to Latin America, control your borders, or we're going to have to come in and we'll control them for you. We're not going to allow that. We want European investment in Western Hemisphere. We want free trade, but we're going to protect our own interests. And we did that for a long time. In 1909 to 1933, we occupied Nicaragua. 1915 to 1934, we occupied Haiti. 1916 to 1924, we occupied the Dominican Republic. Whoa, you're saying America was violating the sovereign land of those countries. Well, when there's chaos in those countries, and American interests, American lives, American investments are threatened, we're going to intervene because we are going to defend ourselves. That is what we do. Okay, let's go back to 1845. By the way, you go back to 1803, the Louisiana Purchase. We purchased from France, who had bought it back from Spain, and it was France's and Spain's and France. Before all that, it was Indians. But the Spanish took it from them, and we bought it from the French. That whole gigantic Louisiana territory and all those states that came out of it. Yeah, there was Native Americans there, but that's what we did. Okay. In 1845, okay, at one time, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California, were all part of Mexico. Mexico invited Americans to move into Texas, settle, and take an oath to the Mexican government. And a lot of Texans, a lot of Southerners did. But I don't think they ever really intended to do that because they declared their independence, I think it was 1836, had what we call formed the Lone Star Republic, won their independence from Mexico, and then petitioned to enter the United States, and we took them. In 1845, Texas became a state in what used to be Mexican territory. Mexico didn't like that. Okay, but by the way, why did they accept it? Because we were more powerful. Then we had the Mexican War, 1846 to 1848. We claim that the Texans, America, went all the way down the Rio Grande. The Mexicans claimed went further north up to the Nueces River. We camped on the north side of the Rio Grande River. Mexico attacked us. We whipped them in a short order in the Mexican War. Then we took all of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California, part of Colorado. All that was Mexican land. We wanted it. We took it. By the way, like Abraham Lincoln didn't even favor the Mexican War. He didn't lead it. He said, well, we did this on purpose. And he's probably right. We did it on purpose. And we occupied and we took it. And that was imperialistic, by the way. Spain had conquered what is now Mexico. The Mexicans declared their independence, threw the Spanish out, and they subjugated the Indians in Mexico. If you go to Mexico today, there's pockets of people living in Mexico that cannot speak Spanish. They still speak Indian. There's pockets of that. That's just the nature of things. And that's kind of what happens. In 1853, we sent Commodore Perry around to Japan with our fleet. By the way, same thing that Teddy Roosevelt did 50 years later. We call the Great White Fleet. We sent our Navy around the world, especially to Japan and to the East, and saying, hey, look at our Navy. Trade with thoughts. See our Navy? See what we can do to you? It was an exertion of economic authority, power, imperialism, if you want to call it. It met our interests. That's just the way it is. Okay. 1893. There's an island out there about halfway between California and Japan. It's called Hawaii. And it was a great place for sugar. And started trading with them. We got the notion, man, we need a base here. We need a base. Their queen, Lililukakalani, I slaughtered the pronunciation of that. They had their own queen. She didn't like it. She said Hawaii for the Hawaiians. But there was a small group of people that wanted, of the Hawaiians that wanted to join America. We supported them. They overthrew the queen. They recognized then that this would be American territory, and then eventually Hawaii becomes our 50th state. They voted for it. But you go way back. I mean, that was kind of imperialistic. Did really the most of the Hawaiians originally want the United States and Hawaii? Probably not. I mean, who can tell for sure? They didn't have a system of government, but they did have a representative system of government. Who could tell? But they did have a queen. She didn't want it. And it was a war. And we supported the side that we wanted. It's the way it works. It's the way it always works. We had a boundary dispute in 1895 with Venezuela. Again, that's what we did. The Spanish-American War. And this is another outgrowth of Monroe Doctrine and the Roosevelt Corley of the Monroe Doctrine. All right. So you had the Spanish had taken Cuba, and that now the people living in Cuba were starting to think of themselves as Cubans. They spoke Spanish, but they wanted independence. We really didn't like Spain there to begin with. It's kind of violated our notion of Monroe Doctrine, but they'd been there a long time. So Spain was trying to play both sides of this. They didn't want to fight us. Their foreign minister, Delomi, sent a letter to a friend in Havana, Cuba. It was intercepted. It was published in American papers. It said that McKinley was a worm, a weakling, a politician, very much insulting. Delomi resigns, the foreign minister. Spain apologizes, but too late. We didn't like it. Then we had a ship in Havana Harbor, the Maine, that blew up. Why? We don't know. We blamed it on Spain. The slogan became, remember the Maine. They blew up our ship. Maybe they did. Maybe it was an accident. I don't know. If Spain blew it up, what a terribly stupid thing to do. Because if we moved to war against Spain, and we defeated Spain, that's where Teddy Roosevelt became very famous. He charged up San Juan Hill, captured the hill, which overlooks Santiago, Cuba, and then we win. After we win, there's a battle out in the Philippines, by the way, Spanish-American, same war against the Spanish, the Battle of Manila Bay. We win. I'll talk about that on the other side.
Sounds good. Perfect spot for a break. Lots of history.